Jesus is building His church. Today we look at Saul. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Then Saul, breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you today. We pray for your presence to fill us, that your Holy Spirit fill us, Lord, that we may hear from you, that we may know you, that we may be drawn closer to you. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of those lost ones in this service today. I pray, Lord, for those who have grown cold to be drawn back to you, for the backslidden to rededicate their lives. I pray that you will move through the power of your Holy Spirit in a mighty way in this service, Lord, that we may know we have been in your presence. And I pray that you would give us hearts to respond. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we look at the life of Saul, a man who is responsible, literally, for wrecking the early church at Jerusalem. A man that was so fierce that believers had literally had to scatter out of the city of Jerusalem for their lives, to flee his persecution. Now I want you to first of all understand, this guy was a very religious guy. I mean, he knew about God, and he observed all the religious rules and laws, and he was well respected in the Jerusalem area. But something was definitely missing in this guy's life. And so we find Saul on the road to Damascus in a conversation with God, for Jesus Christ. It says in the text that Saul was breathing threats and murders against the church, and he had gone to the high priest and he had asked for the authority to travel to Damascus, and any believers or people of the way, as they put it, that he had the authority to take these people and to break into the homes of Damascus, and wherever he found a believer, that he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains and put them into prison. Bible says that he got close to Damascus, and a great bright light shone all around this man, Saul. It was so brilliant that Saul was blinded by the light, and it was so brilliant that it literally knocked him to his feet, to his knees. And he hears a voice. Now imagine, if you will, kind of use your imagination. You've just hit your knees and you hear your name called from heaven. Saul. It even said it a second time for emphasis. Saul, why are you persecuting me? That word persecute is the first thing I want to look at today. It's a very interesting word. In the Greek, it carries two definitions, and I've tried to apply it. And both of these definitions of the original word fit Saul perfectly. You see, the word persecute in Greek, it means to earnestly strive for something. That's the first definition. And I want you to understand Saul at this point. Saul was very sincere. Did you know that? I mean, you know, we look at him as being mean and grumpy and harsh and bloodthirsty. But he earnestly wanted to be a man of God. And he was striving to be that man of God. He was dedicated in his study of the Scripture. He had been a student of the teacher Gamaliel, who was a doctor of the law, a member of the Sanhedrin, and he was the religious guy that everybody looked up into in the community. And so Saul had sat at his feet and listened to his teaching, and he earnestly, I believe, wanted to please God. Now you may say, "Oh, Brother Doug, you can't kill people and think you're pleasing God." Oh, yes, you can. Consider the Muslims, the Al-Qaeda. I believe that there are those in that religion who seem mean but are very sincere, thinking that they are serving God. Now, I'm not giving them an excuse for the lives that they take and the wars and the bloodshed that they create, But I believe they're sincere. But I want to tell you something. Just because you're sincere does not make you right. You can be sincerely wrong. And Saul here was sincerely wrong. You see, the second definition of that word persecute means to pursue with hostile intent. And that's where Saul was at this point. In order to make a name for himself, old Saul now leads the charge against believers. And Saul, heading to Jerusalem, is literally knocked to his knees. And he hears the question, why? Why? Saul, why are you pursuing me with hostile intent? Why are you persecuting me? Now we've got to stop right there. And we've got to ask ourselves that very same question. As you sit here today, you've got to answer the question, why? My first challenge. Conversation with God. Just you and Him. Why? Saul had to answer the question. And it's interesting. Jesus asked him this question. Why are you persecuting me? Did you ever notice that he doesn't answer that question? You know why he doesn't answer that question? Because there is no good answer. Have you ever been faced with a question like that? A question you didn't want to answer because you knew the answer was wrong? It's kind of where he is. Kind of where probably some of you are today. As you hear the question that God would ask you, why? Why do you not worship me? Why do you not talk to me except when you're in trouble? Why do you not open the Word so you can hear from me? Why, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, a Savior who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary, why would you turn away from such salvation? Why have you never followed me in scriptural baptism? Why do you live in immorality? Why do you not serve me? You just fill in the blank. Why? Because this question, if you ask that question, you don't have to ask it to think very long before you, Oh, I've got to come up with an answer here. Why am I living the way that I'm living? Saul started with this conversation. Jesus opened the conversation with a question, and this question led to conviction. Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" I find it interesting. It's kind of like me looking at Brother Ken Worthen today and say, "Who are you, Ken?" Kind of a dumb question, isn't it? I just named it. Paul's the same way. "Who are you, Lord? You just named who I am. I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And Saul needed to know that at this point. He needed to know that his battle was not with Peter. He needed to know that his battle was not with John or the preaching deacon Philip or Stephen, whom he had seen stoned. That was not where the problem was. His problem was with Jesus. And now he's dealing with Jesus, the Son of God. See, you've got to know when you ask this question, you hear God ask this question, "Why are you?" And you fill in the blank. That my fight's, your fight's not with me. Your fight's not with them. That it's Jesus that you're dealing with, the Creator of this universe, God in the flesh. And Jesus told Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then he says, "It's hard to kick against the pricks." You know what we're talking about there? Actually, that's the old King James. The new King James says it's hard to kick against the goads. You know what a goad is? It's a cattle prod. Have you ever driven cattle? You know, to drive cattle, you need a stick or something to poke them and get them to go where you want them to go. Well, quite often, and when I was a boy, we would have cows and we would get ready to drive to carry them to the sale barn, and we'd have a cattle chute and we'd drive them in the corral and we'd try to get them up in that cattle chute that would lead them up to the cattle trailer, and they'd get to that chute and they would bow up and they would stop. And so we had this sharp pointed stick and we'd poke them in the backside to try to get them to move on up that chute. I said, "Brother Doug, that's cruel." "Nah, it's cowhide, it's okay, right?" But we'd poke them. And when we would poke them with that stick, guess what they'd do? Boy, that back leg would come up and kick every time. Sometimes they'd do it too. You did not poke them standing behind them. I saw a guy get it one day. Don't do that. But that's what's meant by kicking against the goats. You see, they had cattle in that day also. They had to go that cattle, whether they be sheep or oxen or whatever, and they would do the same thing. And so as Jesus says, Saul, it's hard to kick against the goats. You know what Jesus is saying to Saul? Jesus is saying, "Saul, I'm trying to get you to go in one direction, and every time I goad you, you're kicking. You're kicking." Did you know that's what the persecution was about? The persecution of all the believers, the dragging people out of homes and into prison. Even Stephen, and as he stood there and he witnessed the stoning death of Stephen, and it says he consented to his death. I think it's what it's all about. The more he persecuted, the more he was convicted and he was kicking. And the more he kicked, the more he became convicted. And the more he became convicted, he persecuted. And it was just this massive circle. When deep down inside, Saul knew something's terrible wrong. The greater his conviction, the greater his persecution. And that's a normal response. For some reason, that's a normal human response, that when God begins to convict us, our thought process is, "Oh, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Why do we think that way? You're looking at a man that ran from ministry for 3 years. Why did I think that God was trying to mess up my life? Why do people sit in pews and it come to the invitation time and they know that they need to make a move, whether it be for salvation or baptism or church membership? Why do we sit there and we say, I know I need to, but I'm not going to? Why? I don't know. It's just kind of human nature, I suppose. But you know, there are people out there who are not saved, who have never came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that there are very few neutral people concerning Jesus? People either love Him or they hate Him. You know, we're either crazy Christians or we have nothing to do with church and Jesus. Have you noticed that? And when you bring up the subject, what do they say? Well, you invite people to church, and I'm sure that you've done this. And when you invite them to church, they say, oh, I don't go to church because they're full. The church is full of hypocrites. You invite them to church and they say, oh, I don't go to church because all that church is interested in is money. You invite them to go to church. Well, I don't go to church because the deacons at that church, they run that church. That church has people that I don't like. You ever heard people say that? That church has people I don't like. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the deacons. And they come up with this. And you think, wow, I love my church. You know what they're doing? You have to understand what they're doing. You see, when they go to church, they hear the message of Jesus Christ. When they hear the message of Jesus Christ, they come under conviction. And they sit there, and it's happened before, and it seems to happen every time that they come to church, and they sit there, and they know they need to commit their lives to Jesus Christ, and they will not do it, so they respond by kicking against the goats. Jesus says, come unto me, and they say, no, no. Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. And they say, no, no, your church is not what I want. No, your people is not what I want. No, no. And they kick and they kick and they kick. I used to think, you know, there are times as a pastor that people would get angry at what I preached. I say there were times. It still happens on occasion. You know what I discovered? Most of the time they were not angry at me. They didn't like what was preached. And listen, if you don't like what was preached, whether it comes from me or a Bible study teacher or a pastor somewhere else, you need to take that up with God. Okay? But see, what I come to the realization is that they weren't mad at me. They were kicking against the goats. They came under conviction. And you see, you've got to understand. Conviction is the act. Here's what conviction is about. Conviction is the act of convincing a person, are you ready? Of the error of their ways. And getting them to admit the truth. That's what conviction is. So the goad, when Saul was being goaded by God, God saying, come on, Saul, you know what's right. You know what's wrong. Come on, Saul, you know you're wrong. Oh, Saul was serving God with a zeal and a passion, but deep down inside, he knew he was wrong. And he was not going to deal with it until he was one day on the road to Damascus and God struck him down with blindness and he had nowhere else to turn or to look to other than the same Jesus who's talking to him in this conversation. Up to this point, he's not wanting to admit, you know, I've been wrong. Isn't that so classic of people? I don't want to admit I'm wrong. Do you? I'm not wrong. If I am, I'm not going to admit it. It's the way Saul was. Until Jesus brought him face to face. You see, when you ask yourself the question why, and you answer that question and you come to realize that you're wrong, don't fight the conviction. Okay? Conviction is not for you to fight. Conviction is for you to respond to. That's what repentance is. Another one of those religious Bible words, repentance. Turning from the wrong and turning to the right. Oh, listen, my friends. Instead of fighting conviction, here's what you do. You deal with it. Okay? Deal with it. Deal with it. How do you do that? Well, that's conversion. That's the conversion. I want you to notice what Saul said. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not, Lord, I want you to do this for me. Saul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, at this point we realize that this same Jesus that's talking to Saul right now is the God of the universe, King of kings, and He has the right to lay a claim upon Saul's life. Why? Because He's God. And Psalms chapter 24 and verse 1 and 2 says, the earth is the Lord, and all its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Here's what you have to understand. Whether you're willing to admit it or not, you belong to God. And He has the right to call upon you and lead you and direct you in whatever direction He so desires. But see, here's the problem. Somewhere along the way, Satan has filled our minds with a lie that God wants to ruin our lives. And God don't want to ruin your life. He wants, number one, you to come to Him for salvation. The Bible says you must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, who was also a religious man. He said, you must be born again. Have you been born again? You see, Jesus brought Saul to a point where nothing else matters. No longer is his career important. No longer is persecuting Christians important. It doesn't matter how he feels. Doesn't matter what he wants. The only thing that matters at this point is, Jesus, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know what that's called? I'm going to give you another churchy term. It's called surrender. That's my challenge to you today. I'm not asking for a commitment. God's not asking for a commitment. God's asking for you to surrender. You know what that word means? Let me give you the official dictionary. It means to yield to the power or control of another. That's what this whole thing is about with Saul. Jesus bring him to the point that says, okay, Jesus, I yield to your will. You're here today. Let me tell you. You know something's missing. And you go to church. Boy, you're real, you know, you go pretty good. I mean, nobody comes on Sunday night, Wednesday nights, right? Actually, they do. We do. We do have Sunday night and Wednesday night. I encourage you to come and be a part of those services. Oh, you come to church, but you know something's missing. The personal side of it, of being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you must admit, you know, as you've come to church, it's always been your theology, not thy will be done, but mine. What I want in a church, what I want God to do in my life, what I want. No. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. Surrender. Surrender your will to the will of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your commitment. He wants you. And the only way to give Him you is to surrender yourself to Him, to His control and to His purpose. You may be here today and you've already done that, but you know we have a tendency to get a little independent as we go through life and decide, well, you know, I know this is what God wants, but I want to go this way. Challenge to you. Surrender. You know what surrender means? To me, in my best definition. Are you ready? Everybody's attention. As a matter of fact, before I tell you this, let's stand. Don't look for Bibles. Don't look for purses. Just stand. Surrender, in my best definition, is Jesus anywhere, anytime, anything. Anywhere you want me to go, I'll go. Anytime you want me to go there, I'll go there. Anything you want me to do, Lord, that's what I want to do. That's what God's asking of you today. Complete and total surrender. And you say, Brother Doug, that scares me. Let me give you this, okay? God's not asking you to do that so He can ruin your life. He's asking you to do that so He can give you a life worth living. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Our staff's going to come. And I'm going to ask you, will you surrender to the will of God? Salvation, baptism, church membership, rededication, whatever you need to do, will you surrender? Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we come to this invitation, Lord, we come knowing that You are the Creator of the universe. It all belongs to You, Lord. And so as we come, we do want to surrender. And we do want to respond to You anywhere, anytime, anything. Not our will, but Yours be done. Father, sometimes we get to thinking it's about us, and we're reminded this morning it's not, it's about You. So I pray for the power of Your Holy Spirit to fill this place. Convict, draw all men to You, that we may respond for Your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.